My friends, this is, I think, my fourth time preaching in this beautiful church. So I feel that I am truly among friends. I thank you for the invitation, and I thank you in advance for listening to me. I want to say at the outset that I will be using religious language. One of my best friends from my 31 years in Westport, Connecticut, is a Unitarian minister. We had constant debates about God, about religious language, and we finally agreed that when he preached in my synagogue, he wouldn't mention God, but when I preached in his church, I could use religious language. And it seemed to work. So this morning, I'm going to speak about God, and I hope that's okay. There are many funny things that have happened to me in my 45 years as a rabbi. But by far, the funniest thing that ever happened to me happened a few months ago. Every Saturday morning, I teach Bible study at an area synagogue. We have been studying the prophets, and we came to a famous passage from the prophet Micah, a passage you all know. I started to read aloud, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" As I was reading that verse, someone in our study group accidentally pushed the bottom button on his or her iPhone. And so at the precise moment that I read, "And what does the Lord require of you?" Siri responded, "I cannot give you the answer to that question." I'm not making that up. Now let me confess that I am addicted to my iPhone. And I could make all sorts of excuses, like the fact that most of us are addicted to our smartphones. It's simply a societal obsession. Therefore, I am not a Luddite. I am not predisposed to be suspicious of technology. This morning, I merely ask you to join me in considering the hidden costs of technology. We might be constantly upgrading our operating systems, but as far as our internal operating systems of the soul, I'm not so sure. Think about this. How many times have you been in a restaurant and you see a family at a table, and every single person in that family is on his or her phone? Do you realize that many of us in our society spend more time looking at a screen made of glass than at a face made of flesh? And do you know why? Because when you have them on a screen, conversations are easy. Conversations on a screen don't require any real emotional investment. The emoji is not real emotion. And so we might be connected. We might even be accessible. But far too often, we are not present. The stories that we tell about our ancestors are about people who were radically present for God and for each other. That is actually the real origin of religion. Radical amazement, as Abraham Joshua Heschel put it. The sheer act of paying attention and letting in something beyond ourselves, letting it suffuse that moment of paying attention. When Abraham took Isaac to the almost sacrifice, He did not tweet the experience, hashtag taking my son to kill him, but God will prevent it. When Jacob saw the ladder of angels, he did not post it on Instagram. When Moses encountered God at the burning bush, he did not friend God on Facebook, or as it was known then, face scroll. Why is it that at every worship service, at every wedding, and even at funerals, I am forced to ask people to turn off their mobile phones? And even then, some people simply cannot do it. What I'm trying to say to them and to us is be here. Be present for this moment. Don't take selfies. Just remember the moment. Let your soul remember it. Let this moment echo the patriarchs, and let this moment echo Abraham's response to God when told to journey to a far-off, unknown place. And what did Abraham say? Hineni, I am here. The least you can do is be here as well. So thank you for letting me get that out of my system, my operating system. Because this is what I know. Those toys in our hands, listen carefully. They are smartphones. They are not wise phones. Our smartphones can give us information. They can give us knowledge. They can tell us the weather. They can tell us stock prices. They can find our music for us. They can even find our way here. They can tell us, but they cannot teach us. They cannot give us wisdom. It was the poet T.S. Eliot who wrote, "Where is the life lost in living? Where is the wisdom lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge lost in information?" Religion has always had something important to say to the world. Information is less important than knowledge, and knowledge is less important than wisdom. We have completely misunderstood the purpose of religious education. Bad enough that we have misunderstood the purpose of secular education, but of religious education? What I used to tell Jewish parents all the time is that your child is not here just to gain a modicum of Hebrew skills. And you restate that in terms of the education offered here. Not even just to gain knowledge, though that would be good. What are our children here for? What are we here for? I believe that we are here. I believe that your children are here to gain wisdom. I tell parents, there are many places in this world where your children can get knowledge. There are many places in this world where your child can get skills. There are many places in this world where your child can have fun. But there is only one place in your child's life where he or she can get the necessary wisdom for having a deep, powerful, significant life. And that is here. I know that that is what you have taught your kids, that is what you teach them. How to be real, how to be significant, how to be a good and decent human being. Because what we have become good at doing in America today is accessing information. But do you know what we've become bad at? Thinking. Have you noticed how many people in our society have simply abandoned thinking? And you know why? takes time. If we reduce everything in our culture to the level of fast food, then we have consented to living in a depraved culture. Some things should and must take time. Art takes time. Literature takes time. Music takes time. Wisdom takes time. And thinking takes lots of time. So back to our invisible friend, Siri. Siri could not answer the question, "What does the Lord require of you?" But thankfully, we don't need her to answer that question. Several years ago, I attended worship services at the Liberal Jewish Synagogue in London. There was an inscription over the altar. It was our verse, the verse that I read to you. But they had done something mischievous with the translation. So just to show off a little bit, let me read you the Hebrew version of that text. It says, "Higid lecha Adam matov." And the syntax reminds me of Yoda. "Told you, man, what is good." Told you, man, what is good. But listen to the translation at the Liberal Synagogue in London. "Man might have told you what is good." Man might have told you what is good. Listen carefully to this move. It's stunning and radical. The next part. "But what does the Lord your God require of you?" Did you get that? Did you hear that? "But." People might tell you what is good, but God has other ideas about what is good. Don't pay attention only to what society says. Know that there are greater ideals out there. Know that there is a higher and deeper reality. To be a religious person, I believe, is to strive for the highest, no matter what the circumstances. Out of my tradition, I would say that we should listen to God, sometimes even more than you listen to people. And I'll let you translate that into Unitarianism. So what do I think God wants of us? What do I think God requires of us? What does God seek in us? What does God need of us? Even before I tell you, I'm going to give you the answer that a great yet unasked trivia question that might come up at some point. Okay, this is the question you might want to use someday. One of my heroes is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG. And what is her favorite biblical quote? It happens to be this one: "To do justice and to love compassion and to walk humbly with your God." That is her favorite biblical quote. You can use that in a trivia game. But let's unpack that quote. To do justice. What God seeks out in us is our ability to create a society that depends on the rule of law and not the rule of whim, not on the cult of personality. And whatever else you might think is happening in this country, let us agree on the primacy of justice and to love mercy. What God seeks out in us is not our ability to create a society of justice. God needs for us to create a society that embodies compassion toward others. One of my teachers puts it this way: you want to be religious? Learn to be present for other people when they are in pain. All of the rest is commentary. In our personal lives and in our public lives. Now, I confess to you that I never noticed something until relatively recently. I was someplace, and I was joining in and singing the Star Spangled Banner, or at least trying to do so. One of the hardest things to sing that's ever been written. But when I actually listened to the words, it was as if I was hearing them for the first time. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Now, if you look at that in writing, the entire Star-Spangled Banner is a series of questions. America is not an answer. America is a series of questions that we need to ask ourselves. For one, is this the society that we signed up for? And if it is not yet the society that we signed up for, what do we have to do to make it that way? And to walk humbly with your God. I think that to walk humbly with God is to live a life of prayer and of learning. When we pray, we stand before God. Or as my Unitarian friend said, we stand before to whom may it be concerned. When we learn, we sit before God. To walk humbly with God is to know that I did not invent this tradition, though I hope to add to it. To walk humbly with God is to affirm that I have inherited this tradition. And that come what may, no matter what I must do, far too many people sacrificed to bring us to this moment in time, and this tradition will not end with me. So here is your homework. Be more present for people in your life, and I would add, for God. Concentrate more on wisdom than on information. Do justice. Be merciful. Walk humbly with God. And here is the hard one. So hard that I wonder if I can even do it. Find 1 hour a day, one waking hour a day, when you will put your phone aside. And finally, remember that there are some questions that Siri cannot answer. But know that you can find those answers within your souls and within these walls. Amen.